Blog Talk Radio.
On the ocean and upon our sea, fish full of mercury. Oh, oh, mercy, mercy me. Oh, things ain't what they used to be. No, no. Radiation underground and in the sky. Animals and birds who live nearby by the night. All things and what they used to be. What about this overcrowded land? How much more we use from men? Can't you stand?
All right, welcome to the Panther Party Radio Network. This is the Big Picture with Melvin Siri Jr. First show of the new year. Hope everybody got to enjoy family and friends. I don't really celebrate the holidays the way I used to, but still try to take advantage of the opportunity to enjoy family nonetheless. Hope all of you had a happy new year as well. New beginning. Hope everybody is staying on course and hope everybody is maybe looking at things a little bit different as we flip over to new start, per se. Want to welcome all my listeners, those who may be listening online, those who may call in and listen, those who may call in and comment, those who may listen to the replays, all my overseas listeners, and thank you, Russia, for letting that girl come home, even though y'all got a better deal. Nonetheless, kind of surprised me, but it didn't surprise me because I knew y'all would get more than you know, we bargained for anyway. But I know she's glad to be back home. No telling what she was going through over there, because anywhere we are, we're in danger, especially when it is Caucasian ruled, because they all have that complex of being better than. Russia, Ukraine, same way. That's why America's so welcoming of these Ukrainians, because of what they bring numerically to help further their cause. And I want y'all to also pay attention to how America didn't have any money, didn't even consider talking reparations, none of that. But continue to pay attention to how Ain't Shit Joe and Enhiden Harris is forking money over to the Ukrainians, about to give them, I believe this next package is like, if I'm not mistaken, $35 billion on top of just a couple of weeks ago, when he done his little visit where they snuck a little $2 billion gift, I guess you could call it, to that country or to whoever is getting it. But it's awful strange that for a country that didn't even want to do studies about reparations and slavery when there's really nothing to study. Yes, it will have an adverse effect on those it happened to, of course, and those who come after, because of the storyline and the history and the paranoia, the mental paranoia that will take place generation after generation, just knowing that threat is always there. And it is a constant threat that is always there. And that's what we seem to forget. Also, before I keep going, I want to also welcome my listening family in Boston, Mass. On activatemedia.org, and Happy New Year to you all. You all will get this broadcast on Friday, which is tomorrow, by chance. But yeah, this is the first one of the new year. And if you are listening online and would like to call in, the calling number is 914-205-5538. Again, that's 914-205-5538. Okay, now, I wanted to, this being the first show of the year, I got a in-studio guest host, but I'm going to set the table real quick and then kind of just have a dialogue, and I'm expecting some callers and get this dialogue going and just see which direction that I go tonight. But I'm going to try to stay civil. But what I wanted to do was just kind of bring a couple of updates about some stories that I had done during the course of last year, and some of them right there towards the end of last year. But as I'm sure you've all heard, since I'm here in Texas, I'll touch on this one first, and then I want to touch on a couple of more stories as well, just to kind of keep the attention focused on it. And I'm going to talk about one particular story that happened back in 2019, if I'm not mistaken, but we'll get off into that. Wanted to talk about first my in-studio guest, Tamisha Carey, and she'll be joining me on this show, this broadcast. I wanted to talk about, and we'll just start off with that one, and then I'll kind of ease into these other updates. But I wanted to start off with my take, and this is just my opinion. Just my opinion, but sometimes it's valid and sometimes it's not. I can admit that. But in the case of a Tatiana Jefferson, and for those of you who don't remember, that was a case that happened back in 2019, in October of 2019, I believe. Don't quote me on that. But nonetheless, I know it was towards the end of the year, but 2019. Long story short, police were called, non-emergency call, wellness check. How many times have we heard this story? And this officer, Aaron Dean, and his partner respond, and he walks all in the backyard. The door was open. They could have easily announced themselves, yelled into the house, and announced themselves, and a life could have been saved. But this, you know, killer cop, that's what they breed nowadays. He was found guilty, not of murder, but the lighter charge of manslaughter, I believe it was. But I'm talking about the time is what I really... Oh, and another thing. Fort Worth, Texas. I'm ashamed of Texas. In the case in Hunt County, in the case with Rakim Belagun, they keep putting these black men in front of all white, these killers in front of all white juries, and then they'll put these killers of black men in front of all white juries, put black men in front of all white juries. How are these, and that leads me to question these lawyers, because there's no way that I'm a lawyer that I am going to allow them to pick an all-white jury in certain cases. And these being some of them, too much opportunity for bias, too much opportunity for them to see in that killer cop someone they know, someone they're related to, someone who looks like them, you know, but they manage to keep picking these all-white juries who gave this cop 11 years and 10 months, and I don't get what that 10 months is about. Just round it on up and make it a even 20. How about that? You know, we have yet to see a cop get 20 years. We have yet to see a cop get really what they deserve for taking lives the way they do. This particular case, and then one similar that was national as well happened here in Texas as well, when that killer cop, Amber Geiger, walked into Botham Jean's apartment and shot him while he was watching a football game and eating a bowl of ice cream. And she gets 10 years, which is no time for taking a life. And just think about if that was you or I that took a life just for no reason other than I feared for my life. He scared me. The big black man made me piss myself. I was scared. You know, that bull that they always come with. You know, and it always works for them. They get no time. 11 years and 10 months. Had that been me that walked around in someone's backyard with a flashlight and they look out their window and I shoot them dead, that's murder. That's murder. First of all, I ain't had no business in their backyard. Second of all, he said that, and there's no way he saw a gun. The blinds were still closed, and she was peeking out the blinds, which would mean one hand's opening the blinds, the other hand is not going to, and not only that, in the body cam video, you can see her face, but you don't see a gun pointed. You don't see a green beam, as he said he saw. Nonetheless, the lies he told, still trying to cover it up. They don't show any remorse. They don't show any empathy or compassion, and not once did he apologize. Do I recall him apologizing? His mother got up on the stand. Not once do I recall her apologizing. See, that's these people. This is how they move. This is in their DNA. This is their natural behavior. You know, they don't feel any sorrow nor pain until it happens to them. And even when it happens to them, some of them don't feel sorrow or pain, just depending on who it happens too. We got to remember who we're dealing with. And 11 years and 10 months is, to me, no time for taking the life of a young lady who was doing nothing more than enjoying an early morning session of video games with her nephew. And you people kill me because you people were trying to make it about, why was he still up so late? Why was this? Why was that? Well, I believe it was a weekend night, like a Friday or a Saturday night, if I'm not mistaken, which means there was no school. But nonetheless, some of y'all worry about the wrong thing, and you try to make it right when it really has no bearing here nor there, but you try to make it relevant when it's really irrelevant to the facts of what happened. And what happened to a Tatiana Jefferson was murdered, open and shut. Some of these cases don't require the expense of taxpayers' money and the waste of time that these cases require. And, you know, another prime example of that, this is kind of off kilter, but just this injustice system and how it works for some but puts the dry broom in everybody else with Trump and how they have now found him guilty of this and that. But what are they going to do to him? He's already announced that he's going to try to run for president again, which should not even be a option for him, considering what he did. Just another one of them examples of that privilege. You see, that I'm just like Malcolm on this one. That's just the chickens coming home to roost. That's what January 6th was. Tomorrow's the 2-year anniversary. And that's what that was. It was the chickens coming home to roost. This is what happens when you give people more power than they deserve. And you allow them, just because of their race, to claim superiority. And that shit backfired on America. See, because these militias, and I don't get it. I don't understand why these militias have such intent on dismantling this government when this government was put together for white men, women, and children to succeed. You know, just like the murder of a Tatiana Jefferson. She's gone forever. He's gone for only 11 years and 10 months. And I still don't get the 10 months. You want to jump in?
Yeah. And thank you, by the way, for inviting me to be on with you this evening. Greetings to all your guests and Happy New Year to everyone. Yeah, in this regard, wow. I'm truly baffled, you know, with how the justice system is just even set up to begin with, and how it is, you know, set up to appease, you know, certain skin tones, certain races, genders. You know, it's just very prejudiced. Of course, we've seen that time and time again. Racist. And so much crookedness, I guess, you know, that would be the street term. But you know what I'm getting
Devilment.
At. Yeah, exactly. So much just evil and conniving and darkness and just all of that. and more. You know, I do believe that it, you know, is prevailing. Justice is prevailing, but just very, very, very slowly. Will we start to see it prevail in our favor? Only, I guess, time will tell.
I have my doubts, very, very strong doubts that we will ever, until we create it, we won't ever see the type of justice that we deserve. We won't ever see the type of treatment we deserve. And that's why I always say too, you know, I wish that we would all get on code and start moving in a collective fashion. And then too, I say that it's important as well that we as black men and women get back to doing what it is that we know how to do and get back to doing what it is that we do better than anybody else, and that's create. That's inventing. We are a very intellectual people, and I think about this every time an Tatiana Jefferson is taken. Every time Jaheim McMillan or Desmond LaDuke or Rasheem Carter is taken, I always think about what that person or what that young mind could have contributed to society. You know, I also think about, and I was saying that in a lot of my broadcasts when I would talk about one of these senseless killings, is how that negates his whole lineage. That negates the whole lineage. You know, that negates generations to come, generations infinity, because that life now doesn't have the opportunity to produce a life, you know, and that's what's happening with so many of our young men and our young women as well. Our young women are not exempt from police brutality and the things that they do. And also, too, keep in mind that every year a consistent number of damn near 25,000 black women and young girls go missing. And that's not happening by accident.
No. And, you know, and that number, you know, who's to say that's even an accurate number? Because there could be more than that missing that just haven't been reported or that nobody, you know, knows about for various reasons. So you have that too.
Right. Right. It's just so many things that we have to navigate through. Another case that I talked about and just mentioned, which was Jaheim McMillan, and I'm still hoping to, I'm going to reach back out to Sister Kia and see if I can't reschedule the interview with his mother, because I just feel like these types of platforms, we got to keep the word out. We got to keep saying these names. We got to keep their memories alive, and we got to keep throwing that shit in this injustice system space.
Oh, yeah.
And we can't let them forget. I mean, it's really time for a new approach as opposed to the marching. And I'll kind of touch on that a little bit later in the show. I was reading, though, an update on the, because I was just thinking about this maybe a couple of weeks ago, and I ran across this article right before the show. And it hadn't been released to the public yet, but this particular article comes from WLOX, and I'm guessing that is a Mississippi-based television or
news station,
because of the logo. But long story short, the family has been allowed to see the video. The Commissioner Sean Tindall told WLOX and they saw the slow motion version and an unedited version of the footage. And I just got a question, because I heard it reported several times that somehow the footage, and I don't know how true it is, I haven't been able to confirm it or not, but I did hear it mentioned in the beginning of all this several times that the Family Dollar video somehow got deleted or removed. So I'm wondering, where is that footage and what happened to it, and then can it be retrieved? There's a lot of things that, you know, you can do with this technology, and then those digital footprints sometimes hang around even after you delete it.
Right.
You may not have deleted it deep enough to where someone who's really tech savvy can dig it right back up.
Mm-hmm.
But nonetheless, that particular video footage is somehow, at least, and I'm going to try to look a little deeper into that as well. I do some searching and see what I can find on that, because that would really be the video that would be needed, and especially if it was a wider view. It would show to show what everyone was doing as opposed to just the body cam, because
right.
and in this article it doesn't say whether or not it really doesn't say anything about what was saw in the video. It only says that they saw a slow motion version and an unedited version. MBI, and I'm guessing MBI is like the Internal Affairs in Mississippi, because there's another case that's going on in Mississippi, and I saw the same initials, and it says that there the MBI investigation has been completed. So the next step, it says, is to turn it over to the state attorney general's office, and then the attorney general will determine what happens next. So let's just hope that, and I know this is, you know, reaching, but let's just hope that this attorney general has some morals and does the right thing, because really, basically, it's really boiling down to either you're going to do what's right or you're going to continue to go with the flow and do what's wrong. Because now wrong is the new right, and yeah, right is the new wrong. So let's hope that this attorney general in Mississippi can at least get the ball rolling towards some sort of accountability in this case. And I'll stay in prayers. I was hoping that my sister Kia would have called in, and she's right down there in the area. I know she's got her ear to the ground on a lot of things that's going on, and just wanted to kind of pick her brain about what she knew as far as, since she's right there, because, you know, I'm looking at what the news is providing, and there's always a little something that's going to be missing when these media outlets start reporting what's going on.
Right.
And so that's why I try to do a little research and stay on top of these types of things myself, because these, I mean, are happening everywhere. And here's the other one in Mississippi. And the irony of these two cases are they are so close together. This one actually happened in Taylorsville, Mississippi, and on October 2nd, I believe it was, or October 3rd, this young man, Rasheen Carter, went missing, and I believe it was 30 days later, I believe it was like around November the 3rd or so, when they found his body on some property decomposed. And I brought y'all this case too when I heard about it. And the irony of it is this one, like I say, he went missing on October 3rd, and then 3 days later, right around the way, basically, young Jaheim is murdered. And this Rasheen's death is very suspicious. You can Google Rasheen Carter, Rasheem Carter. And Rasheen Carter, and you know, read about it. They are still protesting. Matter of fact, this particular article that I read was from WLBT3, which is the NBC affiliate there in Mississippi. And, yeah, they, actively protesting and demanding answers, which, like I say, this is another one of those cases where it's open and shut. This young man was in distress. He went to the police station twice. The police didn't help, wouldn't allow him to stay there to wait on his ride. And just so many things were going on with this case. And he had expressed to his mom that there were some guys in a pickup truck following him. You know, so this is just another one of those situations. The property he was found on, they have some deer cameras set up. And these deer cameras caught him running through that field. And they say that he had apparent bruises on his back and on his arms. They said he was running, looking back to his right, over his right shoulder, as if he were being chased by someone and was running from someone. And they find him on this property, you know, decomposing after being out there in the elements for almost 30 days. Because I want to say it was around the 3rd of November or so when they actually found his body. This is just another one of those cases where it makes me think we've really got to keep our guards up, and we really have got to teach our children the truth. And we cannot allow them to continue to be victims of these devils. And we've got to let them know with whom they're dealing with. And these are not nice individuals. Let me rewind that. For the most part, these are not nice individuals. I don't like to classify all as the same. And I know, just like in every race, you got your good, you got your bad. But in some races, you have more bad than you do good. And it's evident because there's not enough good to change the minds of the bad. And the good go along to get along because they don't want the consequences and the repercussions that they know will come with going against white supremacy, white power, the white establishment, the white code.
Yeah, the white rules.
So, Rasheen Carter, just another example of why I do this. And I'm hoping that we're going to eventually get this shit right. We are so close, but still a long way from where we should be, and still a long way from where we need to be. Because the sad thing about it is we haven't even started a movement. We haven't even started a true movement. And this is why I say it's up to those of us who are really out here living in this white man's world and not partaking in it as much as others. And some people will sell their soul for comfortability. Everybody wants to be comfortable, but your integrity should not be the price for that.
Right.
And so many times we will sell our integrity just to be comfortable. I'd rather struggle and have my integrity, my pride, my word is still my word. You know, there's nothing to question. I haven't given you anything to question. And those people who sell their integrity are questionable because they're not to be trusted, because those type of people always have a price, and they'll always do it for a certain whatever it is, you know. And the devil got all kind of tricks and gadgets and give you what your heart desire and what make you feel good. But is it the right thing? And that's why I say we've got to start deciphering right from wrong. And not only that, we've got to start practicing that. If we start practicing that, it'll rub off on our kids. And then it'll rub off on our grandkids. And then it'll become a normal thing to do, just doing the right thing. And especially when it comes to one another, because we always get the short end of the stick. And sometimes we are the deliverers of that short stick.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why, let me say it now, because I haven't said it. This is why I always say we need each other. We are all we got and we are all we need. We ain't, like I've been saying in my last, we ain't never needed nobody but us. And we've got to really let that sink in. And this is the year that we really seriously need to make power moves. We need to make generational moves.
Agreed.
And it's time for us to stop trying to game one another.
Yeah.
Some of us are so in love with money, we'll play our own in order to feed that greed and that need. See, and I don't get me wrong, because, yeah, I know that money is necessary. But I've always said that money is not the root of all evils. It's what some people do with it, and how some people worship money before anything else. And these are those people that I'm speaking of when I say they'll sell their integrity.
Mm-hmm.
They'll sacrifice somebody they love just for fame, just so that people will know their name. That's the true definition of a sellout, and we have several of them. The whole Kyrie situation brought a whole lot of them to the surface.
Oh, yeah. Most definitely.
The sellout coon house Negroes who don't care about what's going on with us, and they don't care about the Tatiana Jeffersons. They don't truly care about the Jaheim McMillans, the Rasheen Carters, the O'Shea Terrys, the Dunye Joneses. They don't care about what's going on with us. That those of us who are really truly out here suffering under that thumb, suffering and under pressure, scared to take a breath, scared to move, because we're always the subject of attention, and that attention is almost never good. It's always aggressive. It's always overbearing. It's always dictative when it comes to us. And we're seeing more and more of that with these Karens and these Kens. And they've been saying, they call it checking for papers. You know, what are you doing here? Well, I'm supposed to be here. I was born here. But what they're checking for is, why are you in their neighborhood? Because I was just having this conversation last night, how in the Dallas area, how the people moved 40 miles from the inner city and started building all over again. And now these little nothing places are turning into whole new little cities. And the Hispanic population is not too far behind when it comes to building community and having businesses and grocery stores and things like that. You can go any given block here in Dallas, you can find a Hispanic area, and it's going to have everything in it that they need. They don't have to rely on this system, honestly.
Yeah. And it's funny you say that, because I was actually having a conversation, I think last week, with the Lyft driver. That's what we were talking about, how, you know, our people, we so busy trying to upstage one another instead of working together and building together to have those things so we don't have to rely on this system. That's where our problem lies, within us, our communities, our families and neighborhoods and everything, because we're not working together like we need to be and like we should be. And like you said, we need to really be about it. You know, we've been talking about it and saying it and talking about it. And I truly believe that there are many of us out here that are ready to go. But it's like, where do we start? How do we get started? And it's like we waiting on somebody to make the first move. What's the first move?
Well, I've always known, and like I say, not to worship it, but, and I just kind of touched on it a minute ago, saying just don't fall in love with money, but money is definitely necessary until there's another popular currency that may overwhelm the dollar, but I don't see that happening either. I can really see this whole system just crashing because there's only so long that you're going to be able to do wrong, and then there's going to come a harsh punishment and a harsh end to the greed and the corruption and just all of the things that you have dealt to others. See, and they know what they have dealt to others, and that's what one of their biggest fears is, thinking that we will do to them what they did to us. But what they don't know is we just want them to leave us alone.
Right.
And we really could care less about what they doing, because what's coming to them is going to come to them regardless of what we do.
Exactly.
They can't dodge the bullet, just like we were not able to dodge the bullet. You reap what you sow. And I mean, this white guy a couple of weeks ago asked me, we listened to a news radio, and they were doing a report on one of the mass shootings, the many mass shootings that happened in 2022. There were more mass shootings in 2022 in this country than there were days of the year. Yeah. There are 352 days in the year, so we had more than 352 mass shootings. It's 400 and something. I'm not going to guesstimate because I just glanced at it, I knew it was over 400. I want to say it was like 4, but anyway, that's just something that you can look up and Google in your spare time. But that's, you know, I told him, hell, just another one of them examples of your chickens coming home to roost. You know, a country that was built on violence, a country that really worshiped violence and made heroes of the most violent people, that all them generals and all them warmongers that they love, worship, make statues of, you know, these people that dealt nothing but death and destruction to people, you know, but they worshiped them like gods, you know, but that's just who they are. And I've been saying this the last few years, just continue to watch them and pay attention to them, because those of them who are of that character will be exposed. And they're being exposed right at this very moment.
Oh, yeah.
You know, several of these jackass Karens and Kens have lost their jobs simply because they couldn't mind their own damn business.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's just one of the problems with this country.
And
you
with
know,
them.
True. You have, like I say, the classism, you know, that feeling, and I'm still trying to figure out how they feel superior to anyone. But that's a whole nother show.
Yeah.
But that false superiority, you know, that is really not present within them for the most part. Now, there are some of them that actually do think, for the most part, we're dealing with a race of followers, and they look at how they all jumped on the Trump wagon.
Yeah.
And how they all took their dumb asses to Washington on January 6th 2 years ago. And
he made them look like some pure fools.
I argue with this one dude because it's it's an interview, you can YouTube it, where Donald Trump stated if he ever ran for president, he would run as a Republican because they're the dumbest.
Oh, yeah, and he proved it.
And that's just what he did.
Yep.
That's just what he did. And then what did he do going out? Showed just how stupid they were.
Yep.
And they all were in Washington like he was. That's what they worshiped, though. Those warmonger type of people. Those cult of personality type of individuals.
Yeah.
Those narcissists, those dictators. Those are the people they worship. The ones that, you know, practice doing wrong.
I was going to say, and in their eyes, they don't do no wrong, though.
True. True.
And they just follow right on behind them. And, you know, they just don't realize. I know he was sitting back there laughing at they dumb asses when they stormed the Capitol.
And he's sitting back there the whole time watching it on TV
as
it's going on. And they're calling him, and he doesn't even give a damn about the lives that are in jeopardy or none of that.
Mm-hmm.
He's enjoying the show.
Mm-hmm.
And it took him over an hour to say anything to those people.
Yeah.
So there should not even be any type of consideration for him to be able to hold any type of political office. I wouldn't give a damn. I mean, he don't even need to be a janitor at the mayor's office, because he'll steal some motherfucking files and have them all down in Mar-a-Lago.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he can't even work at the mayor's office, because he's just a crook.
Yeah.
And
that's just putting it mildly, because he need to be under the damn jail.
And yeah, they won't do anything to him about these taxes or none of this other stuff that they have, you know, filed charges against him for, just the show, if you ask me.
Yep. That's exactly what it is, all for show. And it's that's okay. Because, you know, their day is coming. It is. And I think they know their day is coming. That's why a lot of them is acting out the way they are. Their day is coming. That's all I got to say on that. And it's not going to be nothing nice when it all, you know, it's said and done at the end of the day. So, you know, no feeling bad when you know, stuff starts coming back on them, when that karma is catching up to their asses now. I don't feel bad or sorry for them at all.
No. I know that. I don't wish bad on nobody.
Right, no,
but,
I don't either.
But I also feel like every person should be held accountable for what they've done. And just like with us, if one of ours do something, they look at all of us as the same as that one individual who just might have killed three people, four people. But we don't judge one of them as all of them, when in all truth and reality, we should judge one of them as all of them, because in so many cases throughout history, one of them has been all of them.
Yeah. Truth on that.
Every time you look, just like with this picture of a racist Jerry Jones, I knew he was racist back when the Colin Kaepernick situation was going on, and he dared his players pretty much to kneel, because he said that if one of his players out there kneeling, they ain't going to have no job on his football team.
Yeah.
So to see his picture pop up in that situation in North Little Rock and what that whole situation was about, the world knew what that situation was about.
Mm-hmm.
And America, white America in 1957 was on nigga stay in your place code. And a Negro was going to stay in his place, but he's standing there and tell that dry lie a few weeks ago with all them reporters standing around and talking about he really don't remember. And, oh, yeah, well, I do remember just wanting to go down there and see what was going on. You lived there.
Oh, yeah, he was all
and this was all over the damn news.
Mm-hmm.
Then he said that his coaches told him not to go, but he went anyway. So, yeah, even your coaches told y'all what it was and don't go down there. But there you are because you wanted to be a participant. And if any rabble-rousing had really went on, you was going to be
right
there
in
the mix.
Yep.
But you just wanted to see what was going to happen. See, and no, that's that bullshit privilege, and that's why I just can't respect them, because they, no matter what, you can have a picture of them with their hand in the damn cookie jar, and they're going to say, that ain't me.
Right.
That's what I don't respect about
And be like,
them.
Okay, Bob, you good to go then.
For the most part, because, see, America has always made a way for people like him.
Mm-hmm.
That have money, status, and that name, you know, they always will allow him that pass, no matter how many times.
And it's still happening. It's still happening.
And for him to stand there and act like he didn't know what he was about the witness, yeah. Like I say, America, white America was on code for real in 1957 because they were still hanging Negroes in 1957.
Mm-hmm.
Mississippi led the nation in lynchings. And this was just after the fact that they started recording them. So just imagine, had they been recording them
prior.
The duration.
Mm-hmm.
So that number is well under the mark of how many men, women, and children that they actually lynched. You know, so like I say, these you know, I kind of got off track, just got on this subject, but just kind of led me to this, giving those updates, because, you know, I'm tired of giving them kind of updates, and that's why I took a break the last 3 weeks, because I just needed to kind of reset my brain.
Yeah.
And you have to do that from time to time. Yeah, definitely. And I was still, don't get me wrong, reading articles and still hearing of stories and things that are going on. And then I'm still, you know, just reading up and just trying to stay updated on things that I have brought to this show and just stories that I, you know, can remember from over the past year.
Yeah.
Just because, I mean, it was another year of the blues, you know,
mm-hmm.
another year of us suffering again, not getting anywhere, another year of us wasting time, staying disunited, not willing to work together. And what we really don't understand is how beautiful it would be. I can just think back to the Tulsas and Rosewoods and how good it must have felt to wake up in a neighborhood and a town and a little community that you helped build. And knowing that by building that community and that town, that your kids are going to be good, and hopefully they kids is going to be good.
Right.
But only to, within a few months, years, have it looted and robbed and pillaged, and everybody ran from in the town.
Destroyed and lives lost in, you know, the midst of all of that too.
And it's 2023, and we act like we dealing with a new devil. The devil ain't new, and ain't nothing that he does new under the sun. Yeah, ain't none of his tricks. They the same old tricks, just a different day.
Yeah.
He put a new shine on it, mm-hmm, to make it appealing to this bling bling generation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This we want it right here and now, yeah, generation.
Yeah. The microwave.
Yeah, this
generation.
Just can't wait,
yeah,
generation, mm-hmm, that wants it all right here, right now, mm-hmm, instantaneously.
Mm-hmm.
And then, too, that's where we come in, and we got to be the ones to program the mind. We've got to be the ones to redirect what this system is trying to do.
Really.
We need to
get them to see, yeah,
correct them, mm-hmm, in love, and then redirect them in power.
Exactly.
You know, because that's really what to me equates to wealth. Yeah, money and all that, like I say, it's all right, but when you can give your children the knowledge to live to see 30, 40, 50, 60 years,
mm-hmm,
then that was your true wealth. Because your children's longevity is a reflection of something you did right.
Absolutely.
Or wrong.
Yeah. Either or.
So, mm-hmm, that's why I say we have definitely got to get more involved in giving our children the true wealth, that which is knowledge, because knowledge can do some things that money can't do.
Right.
You know, mm-hmm, you might not have a dollar, but you can figure out a way to get a meal.
Oh, yeah.
Knowledge, intellect.
Mm-hmm.
You can figure out a way to make a dollar. We like I say, and we can make it easier on each other. We just got to learn how to start working together,
yeah,
and then leaning on one another. Because we like you said earlier, we too busy competing,
mm-hmm,
as opposed to building and growing.
Mm-hmm.
I got to have more than that nigga over there.
Yeah.
You know, that film Negro, house Negro shit that still exists to this day, where we're more competitive within ourselves as opposed to being more competitive and outdoing those around us. Because I said it to some brothers and sisters once in conversation,
mm-hmm,
that, you know, whenever we fix ourselves internally, that all that external bullshit that's happening right now will become irrelevant because the focus will be different.
Right. And
you
know. That's why we need to get this script flipped so that it can be, you know, we can get it going in that direction. Yeah, for sure.
So, yeah, that's what I'm hoping with this. And like I've always used the Montgomery bus boycott because I promote boycotts because boycotts are effortless things that you can do that will change things.
Say, make a difference somehow.
Because you don't have to put forth any effort to keep your money in your pocket.
Right.
You don't have to put forth any effort to not spend your money with these Targets and these Walmarts.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I understand that there may be some things that, yeah, you can't find anywhere except Target or Walmart. I get that.
Mm-hmm.
But we need to really practice shopping black 90% of the time.
Oh, yeah.
And the other 10%, well, yeah, they can have that. That's only the crust of a piece of pie,
mm-hmm.
you know. So we can afford to give them the crust of a piece of pie, but we got to make sure that we cutting and dividing it the way it should be.
Right.
And not having
the biggest portions of the pie.
And not having others in control of it. That is the biggest change that we can make. And I mean, 381 days, Montgomery boycott lasted just a little over 1 year. And we won't even boycott nothing for 1 week. And then we going right back to it because we acting like we can't live without
it. Yeah.
We acting like we can't live without it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all about choices and being a little more disciplined. Everybody knows I've talked about it. I had a heart attack back in 2021. And had to quit smoking. Smoked cigars and loved smoking cigars. So anyway, I started back smoking them again, puffing on them, playing with them. And now once again, I've quit again. But that's just, and I'm saying that to say this. We can do whatever we want to do. It's just a matter of doing it. Now, with the cigars, did I need them? No.
Mm-hmm.
Just something I enjoy doing.
Right.
But not a necessity. And that I'm saying that because we need to focus on necessities. There are a lot of things that we don't need that we do religiously that we really don't need. And if we were to redirect some of that into a different area.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, redirect the focus to the things that are truly important and bringing our people together, bringing our communities together so that we can have everything that we need in our communities. That's where the focus just got to be shifted to because it's, you know, right here in our faces, they don't care about us. Like you said, they don't give a damn about us. You see how we've been treated for, you know, centuries on end by them. So it's time to just completely cut ourselves, like just cut ties if we can and just have our own within our own. And we can do it. We can do it. And like I was saying before, you know, it's just a matter of how do we get started and going that in that direction. Because some of us are really eager and ready to go, but what do we do first? How do we get it going? We keep talking and talking and talking and talking and trying to plan and trying to, you know, get it together, but, you know, where do we truly start? How do we truly light the fire to get it going?
Yeah, it's that's, you know, just like I was saying earlier, it's really about mining, utilizing it, utilizing ourselves and what we have within our own confines.
Mm-hmm.
We have everything that we need. We just don't use it to our advantage. We allow others to use it to their advantage. And that's something that really has to stop on that end.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I just wanted to jump on here and get in a New Year's show. I want to thank my guest host. You want to say anything in closing?
I'm you know, along with you and everybody else who is ready to really get this movement going. You know, I reach out and let's start doing some brainstorming and really start trying to organize some things, because it's really, really, really time for us to do what we need to do and what we set out to do. So I'm ready. Again, I love y'all, and let's do this thing, like, for real, let's get it going. And I just want to thank you for allowing me to be on this platform with you, King. And anytime.
All right. Mm-hmm. You're welcome. In closing, I just say, like I always say, you know, I'm tired of saying names and making hashtags. I don't know. I just really hope that this year the Most High will start touching even more of us, waking even more of us up. And not only that, start allowing those of us who are like-minded to make those connections and start bringing like-minded bodies together and start working on the next Rosewood, the next Tulsa, the next Elaine, the next Slocum. Because like I said several times last year, and I'm going to continue to say it, you know, we have got everything that we need. We just give it back to those who want to see us with nothing. We give it back to those who effectively oppress us. And that's why I say it. Boycotting is just one of the simplest forms of protest, one of the most effortless forms of protest, but so effective, because if you take food from a dog, he'll get aggressive, and either he'll get aggressive or either he will become docile in order to get back in good graces. So if we take that dollar from the dog, he's either gone get aggressive or do what he needs to do to get back in good graces. And we saw what the dog do when you take that dollar. They do what it takes to get back in your good graces. And this is why I'm saying all that to say this. This is the power in numbers theory. And the more of us who are thinking alike and moving alike, they'll notice that. They'll see that. And then they'll understand that we mean business. And it's time for us to get down to business and handle business so that we can stop being the world's floor mat. And with that being said, I'm going to close this first show out. I want to thank everybody for calling in. Once again, want to thank my guest host for sitting in with me tonight as well. Want to thank those of you who called in and listened. Want to thank those of you who listened online. Always feel free to call in. This show is not about me talking for an hour and a half or 2 hours. It's time for us to talk. It's time for us to fix this. We've all been through something that we can help somebody else get through. We got to be each other's helpmates and not each other's hurt mates. Too often we focus on how we can hurt one another as opposed to how we can help one another. So think about that as we bring in this new year and what we can do to help one another and stop hurting one another. On that note, like I always say in closing, let's plan, let's organize, let's unify, because we all have a key. I'm out. Until next week, this has been the Panther Party Radio Network, The Big Picture with Melvin Siri Jr. I'm out. Peace, power, and love.
The blue skies go. Poison is the wind that blows from the north and south and east. Oh, mercy, mercy me. All things and what they used to be, no. Oil wasted on the ocean and upon our sea, fish full of mercury. Radiation underground and in the sky. Animals and birds who live nearby are alive. Oh, mercy, mercy, me. All things and what they used to be. What about this overcrowded land? How much more we use from man? Can't you stand?